I'm glad to be in the house of the Lord tonight. I'm glad for the opportunity I have to stand before you tonight as well. Preaching is one of the few things that really, really brings a lot of joy to my heart. I think that kind of comes along with the package, doesn't it, Brother Miller? When he calls you to do something, he'll also bless you with the enjoyment of doing that thing. I want to go ahead and get right into my message. I have a lot of things going through my mind, and I'm sure y'all have a lot of the same things going through your mind. I'm going to try to stay on task and say exactly what the Lord wants me to and not what I want to say. Amen. If we are to read the entire first chapter of the book of Genesis, we'll come across a creation story, how God created the heavens, the earth, and everything in it. And we could get in a really big debate, couldn't we, on whether God created man good or bad. We really could get in a debate over that, but that's not my intention. I am going to talk about the nature, human nature tonight, but I don't want to get in any debates, so we'll just table the good and the bad thing for another time. Maybe if we can talk about that on a Sunday night or a Wednesday night. But Genesis 1:31 says, "And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good." Not that very good is not saying that mankind was very good. It was the order of things. The entire creation God made was very good. That's what he was saying right there in the 31st chapter. The entire thing that he made, the heavens and the earth and everything in it, was very good. The flow of things. Some people call it the circle of life. And we kind of laugh at the children's story, the Lion King, because of the circle of life. But, well, that's Genesis, the first chapter. But the fact is that in the Garden of Eden, no matter what you think man was good or bad at the time, we stopped being good, definitely, for a fact. We stopped being good. We weren't good anymore after Adam took a bite of that apple, and after Eve took a bite of that apple, we stopped being good. God saw that. Jesus was walking with them and communing with them, and he didn't like that much at all. And I'm talking about a story that we read when we were children, and somehow we just really don't talk about it that much anymore, because we learned that when we were kids. It's childish. I'm going to just put that aside, and we're not going to talk about it. But we have some young ones here tonight. I hope they'll be able to understand about Adam and Eve and how they did the opposite of what God told them to do. And because of that, Michael Carter and everyone here today stopped being, for a while, we stopped being good in the fact that we had a sin inside us that was unforgivable. But part of that plan that I was telling you about that God made when he created the world and everything in it and said was very good, part of that was the fact that he knew that he was going to save Michael Carter. And he knew he was going to save each individual here that has a testimony. He knew that. When he created the heavens and the earth, he knew that. And that part of the plan was good. Not mankind. And that nature is what's on my heart tonight. And I'm sure all of y'all, I'm going to try my best not to get political tonight. But it's hard not to, watching the news or reading the paper, or actually just being around other people. They're going to talk about it right now. That is what is really hot. Is politics, but instead of titling my message "Trump won, get over it," I want to title my message "Super Bowl Party." My team lost, so I'm gonna break something. My team lost, so I'm gonna break something. And out of the 30-some-odd NFL teams, your team is going to lose. And I would be willing to think that each one of you here tonight has rooted for some sort of team. And that when they lost, you got a little upset. Or maybe when your opponent did something and failed at it, maybe they lost. You got a little happy about that fact that they did, even if they hurt themselves. At least 4 police cars from various agencies were on the scene during the protests at WKU. 5 students were arrested. And that was a report from the Warren County Sheriff's Office. And that was in Bowling Green, Kentucky, people. That was in our backyard. That happened really close to us. One of those people, one of those 5, was from Bowling Green. The craziness that happens with human nature happened at Western, not too far from us, on a big scale, enough breaking the law to get arrested. Not just a warning, but they got arrested. And it wasn't just the in Bowling Green where people were crazy and made fools of themselves and acted childish. It was everywhere in America. And that's very sad, because I saw so much hate in the actions of these people that were fighting against hate that it was ridiculous. I just couldn't understand it. I couldn't understand it. I had to stop and think for a second and really think on that fact that I couldn't understand the action. So I took a closer look at those five individuals that were arrested at Western. And I started thinking about a term I actually learned in one of my psychology classes at Western. It's a German word, Schadenfreude. It's a compounded word. Schad means suffering, or Schaden means joy, and Freude means suffering. So joy and suffering, and Schadenfreude is the term that actually can be not just a term, but it's an actual event that we can see in a functional MRI where our brain lights up that I will exhibit, and y'all will too. The lights will flash, and I'm not sure how the scientists read this MRI, but you can actually see Schadenfreude happen when an individual takes joy in the suffering of others. Now, when I first heard of these five individuals that got arrested, serves them right. They were acting foolish. They were acting childish. That was Schadenfreude. Does that happen with y'all? Well, it's okay if that happened to y'all. It's natural. Well, natural and okay, that's what the world will tell you. But back to trying to understand this foolishness that is happening in our country. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 19. And I'm going to let y'all turn to that. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 19. Yet in the church, I'd rather speak five words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in unknown tongues. What that is saying is, I'd rather teach Jesus Christ, Him crucified, and the importance of you being saved and taking advantage of what Jesus did on the cross. I'd rather understand that than be full of knowledge that doesn't relate to Jesus one bit, and that even take that one step further. I really enjoy biblical stories. Like Jonah and the whale, Daniel and David and Goliath, Daniel and the lion's den, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I like learning about the blessings that God will give you if you follow His commands. I really like to study those so I can understand them. But it all revolves around, it doesn't revolve around David slaying a giant. It revolves around Jesus. It revolves around Jesus. And if we start to understand and think about Jesus, I want us to start thinking about that right now. And the fact that he was 100% man, and at the same time, he was 100% God. I want you to think about that for a second. And we're going to think about that, and we're going to really do two things. We're going to try our best to understand all this craziness that's happening in the world, but we're going to try to increase our relationship with Jesus Christ, if you already have a relationship with him. I'll encourage you to turn to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. And this world is going to remain wicked, and we're going to do crazy things, and Schadenfreude is going to be a normal and okay happening until everybody knows Jesus as their personal Savior, or when Jesus comes back with his sword in one hand. Acts chapter 17. And here Paul is going through Athens, and he comes across people worshiping an idol, a bunch of idols, but he takes notice of one in particular, and there's an idol to the unknown God. There's an idol to the unknown God. Well, I believe that is still the case today, and part of the reason why people have been acting so foolish was not just today. It's not just in Bowling Green that people are acting foolish. It's all over the country. It's all over the world. And it wasn't just yesterday or the day before that. It was, well, from when Adam and Eve fell from grace, and we lost our relationship with Jesus Christ. See, well, I really want to understand these people a little bit better, and trying to think of another problem, another way to fix it. It's another way to teach these people, these foolish people that act so crazy. It's not everyone gets a trophy. See, we live in a world where we just acknowledge somebody for nothing, and that's good and all. But when we do it so much, it becomes a second nature, and then people start to ultimately lose track of the answer to their problems. And they start seeking idols, and they create one to the unknown God. But if you don't believe me, about not everyone gets a trophy. If you think that's just some Michael Carter thing, please turn to Matthew 5:19. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. So in heaven, there is a reward system. There is a ranking system. There's a good and a bad. There's an okay and there's a not okay. And let me tell you, folks, this taking pleasure in the suffering of others, however small it is, it's not okay. I don't care what the world tells you. That's not okay. In Bowling Green, I work for the city of Bowling Green, so I see a lot of things that happen within the city. There were signs with vulgar language. After the election, there were signs with vulgar language and so much gloating and hate put on doors of the losing opponent. And that's not okay. That's not okay. And these five people at Western that were arrested, they think that's okay. Well, are you teaching anybody that it's okay? Well, if you are, stop. It's not okay. Let's teach about the creation story in the beginning. It's not just for children. It's the way that things are. It's fact. It's what happened. And that story right there, when God created the world, he created the world so man might have potential. And in that potential, that's the opening that God can take advantage of and save your soul. And people just don't know anything about that. They don't know about God's saving grace, but it all started out with the beginning. And it's so important. I can't stress that enough, how important it is to teach the church's children, how important it is to teach people outside of the church. There are some adults that don't know about Adam and Eve, who Adam and Eve were. Jesus is the answer. And we may be spiritually mature, we may be saved, but there are those that aren't, and they're going to die in that condition unless they get saved, and they're going to go to a devil's hell. Teach people there is a right and a wrong. Teach people about Jesus. Don't just spend all your time trying to fill your brain up with knowledge, because a lot of that knowledge is going to be worldly knowledge. I'll tell you a good trick I've learned. I just don't watch regular TV anymore. I got tired of it. I really did. So much foolishness happening. I would just assume take advantage of every opportunity Jesus gives me to be able to preach And with every breath I have, I'd like to be able to proclaim that Jesus Christ is King. I hope that is your case. John chapter 13, John chapter 13, verse 34. Now, if you have any doubt that I'm correct about the Schadenfreude not being okay, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. This is Jesus speaking, that ye love one another as I have loved you. That was Jesus speaking. It isn't very loving to take pleasure in the suffering of others. We need to understand why people do foolish things and have empathy with them, try to think about why they did what they did, and not stop and take our precious God-given time to gloat or be happy that they end up in jail. We need to take advantage of that God-given time and think about a way to be able to teach them about Jesus. Start off with Adam and Eve. It's not just for children. That's all that's on my heart tonight. I'm going to pray for y'all. You pray for me. I hope I didn't get political in the pulpit, Brother Miller, but our country is full of a bunch of wicked people. And no matter who is president, it's not going to matter because Jesus is King. He has everything under control. I had a friend tell me, she said, I'm a disabled female. And this is after the election. She said, I'm a disabled female and I'm scared. She didn't understand when I told her that God told us to not be scared. He told us not to worry about tomorrow because tomorrow will be taken care of. Put it in God's hands. She didn't understand that. I had to stop and think of what to tell her next and pray about it. Is that what y'all do? That's my prayer. Thank you, Brother Miller.
Bless you, Brother Michael. Appreciate the message.